2011. Why two?
One is Laura's and then one is mine. So instead of having to transfer it at the end of the meeting to my computer, I can just take the recorder with me.
All right. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Stand for the pledge. Matt, you want to lead?
Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, still under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're all here.
Yes, we are.
All right. Public comment. This period devoted to comments by the general public. No. Approval of the minutes for December.
Motion to approve.
Second. All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, aye. Approval of the agenda for January.
You make one change to the agenda.
Yeah. Make a change to the agenda. Move item 9 to item 1.
Move 9 to what?
1.
1.
Up to the beginning, just so we can elect a new chair.
Oh, you need a second.
You don't need a second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. I'll work that. To elect a chair and vice chair of the Indian Springs TAB.
Does anybody want to nominate someone to be chair?
Yeah, I nominate Mike Prettenhofer for chair.
Okay, I'll do my turn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then we need a motion, nomination for vice chair.
I nominate Mike Nichols.
Can I nominate someone?
Oh, we can't?
No.
You can't do vice and...
No, because if Mike were to be gone, then you'd be chair again. You can't succeed yourself. Try again.
Chair be a vice chair again?
Yes.
I nominate Matt Pinkerton.
Okay.
I think so.
Or there's other people.
Yeah, there are.
Give me one sec. I've never had a question before.
What? She's never had that question.
Oh. Congratulations.
Or do we have a vote on that?
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed?
All right,
Mike. Mike
Prettenhofer.
Take over.
Done,
you brother.
Indian Springs Fire Department.
I'm not sure maybe we'll have anything to add to it, but Chief Hayes. So far that we've come up with the hydrant issue that we recently ran into a situation with, in order to accommodate NFPA standard 1, which gives us a 500 distance between fire hydrants, we need to have an additional 37 hydrants put in around town. Some are 2-3 extra hydrants, some are 6-7. A lot of you guys know where there's no hydrants at all, and then where there's only just steam pipes. So that's the number that was the chief had organized and got together and sent it down to me, and I'm represent the Indian Springs Fire Department.
Okay, so you're saying 500 feet between? That's what the standard is?
Did you guys, there was no real any other pressing matters or prevention items for this month.
Okay.
Whose responsibility is it for the 37 fire hydrants that need to be put in?
My understanding was one of the company has some part to do with that, but I'm not 100% sure if it goes down to the water district in town, or if they have any say or anything like that.
Well, first of all, it wouldn't be a water district because water company is a separate entity and they are the water purveyor for this town, so it would have nothing to do with water district. Do you want
to
pop in?
Well, Mark, we were talking about this earlier today at another meeting with Pantheon. Larry Higgins, this is part of Chief of Clark County Fire. I'd have to check the distances. I know 500 is commercial. I think residents can go a little bit further, might be 7 feet, but I'm not entirely sure. I'd have to look. When the town was built, I talked to fire prevention today about how did we end up with a street like Olden. With no fire hydrants. They're not sure, they're checking into it. Typically that would cause a variance to be written to put the houses in without fire hydrants. So we're trying to backtrack that and see what exactly happened at that street ended up with hydrants. Again, I'm not sure how this would work any more than anybody else's, and Megan is, but the only way I could see this is would be the water company's responsibility to put those additional hydrants in. That would, I would guess, be done through a bond. That bond would then be collected on taxes. So that would be my guess, but don't take that to the bank because I don't know.
We're still researching it. We need to find out why they weren't put in the first place. Was it that they got a wait, some sort of waiver? And we don't know that yet. So kind of the answer to that will set us on the course of which direction to take. If it was negligence on the part of the water company, we could pursue it that way. If there was some sort of waiver approved, we'll see why and what was involved with that. I do know there are grants available for safety and water systems and things like that, but that would be up to the water company to pursue those if it turns out that they're the ones that need to do it. So we're working on it. It's just, this is an interesting one.
It's got to go back a long way if there were waivers and stuff. It has to be way back.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to have to be understandable on, I know the fire department side, I know how urgent we want it, but you know that something like this is going to take a pretty long process, so.
That's our million-dollar wish list thing.
I don't think anybody's going to say, sure, let me put in those hydrants for you. I think it's probably going to get a little touchy.
It probably will.
But we can't do anything until we know what happened and why. And we're researching that. And I have to say, records that were kept in rural areas are not as good, especially back in maybe 50s, 60s. I don't know how far back this goes. So we're working on it.
And a lot of concessions were made in rural areas that wouldn't typically be made in an urban area.
Right.
I can tell you that, like, Logandale, where we're building some new houses, it's the property owner's responsibility to put a hydrant in. Mm. So if they have to run a hydrant 1,000 feet to their property, that's on them. And we have an issue with that going on in Logandale right now where that's a $50,000, $60,000 project to put a hydrant in, and that guy's choosing not to do that, so we gave him the option of sprinkling his house.
Mm.
As an option, and he doesn't want to do that because that's $25,000. So, you know, typically it's either the developer who puts those hydrants in, or it's the property owner here in the rural area. So, again, we just kind of started scratching the surface on this today. It's going to take us, hopefully, maybe by next month, we'll have some answers. I was hoping to have an answer for you tonight, but fire prevention didn't get back to me. So.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you.
Matt, I have a question. Maybe Megan can answer. If a new developer comes in, like Chief just said, they're responsible for that development, what goes in it, this and that.
Right.
What about these trailer parks when a new owner takes over? Why wouldn't they be responsible to bring something up to a standard?
Because the development exists, unless they're making changes. Just like it's your house. If you sell your house, the new person doesn't have to make any changes, unless they want to remodel, put on an addition, then they have to make changes. But change of ownership doesn't change.
So that's why I guess they don't have to do any upkeep on their mobile homes and all that because they already exist.
Well, it's not that they don't have to do upkeep. We're talking apples and oranges here. You're mixing things here. Putting in fire hydrants, it's a little different than painting.
I understand that, but it's still a new developer coming in. If they start bringing more trailers in, that puts a burden on what the system is now.
Adding a mobile home in an existing park is not new development.
I understand that.
Okay.
But it puts more stress on these guys that are fighting fires in those areas.
Well, I understand that, but all those spots exist, so they're not creating new spots. Well, I think in some places they're trying to.
They're trying to.
Just like with the development, the Touchstone Living that one has hydrants, correct?
Yes.
And so the hydrants were put in, they didn't know the houses weren't going to get built. So for new development that comes in now, we have the ability to make them do the infrastructure to meet the needs. In old stuff, I don't know how we go back and do that and how we force someone to do something like that.
So that's kind of the answer you'll probably get from the water company then.
Probably.
And I have thoughts on how we'll handle that if we have to cross that bridge. But I don't want to start a riot or anything, so we'll just continue to find out how it went, and then we'll pursue steps from there.
And that was the one reason we put that water tender here, at your request when you were the chief of that.
Right.
Because we knew we had eight areas without a fire hydrant.
Right.
And so that 1,200-gallon water tender was moved here from another fire station.
Right. Right.
Wasn't it broke down?
No.
It was
the engine was in for service.
Right.
And it hadn't been picked up yet.
Well, I think, Akahi, you were operating the tender. I think you did, what, 8 loads or something?
Somewhere.
Back and forth. I mean, it's a good thing we had it. You know.
And City also had a water tender.
Questions?
Thanks, Kai.
You have the floor, Sergeant Marlow.
Evening, everybody. Sergeant Matt Marlow, Las Vegas Metro Resident Section. I don't have a lot for the Indian Springs area. I've kind of been letting things handle themselves out here. Unless we get a call for service, we've been getting our butts handed to us on Mount Charleston. There's a lot of snow issues up there. So, don't have anything new for you. Anybody have any questions for me? Crickets?
I got one.
Oh.
Has there been any sightings of our buddy?
No, and as a matter of fact, I sent off an email today to Pahrump PD to try to find out follow-up on that. I know he's arrested over there. I imagine he's probably out by now. But
yeah.
I haven't heard of him being here. Nobody's contacted me. Let me know he's back here yet. So.
Well, that's a good thing. Okay.
Yes, sir.
On the dumping in the desert, well, it's not really dumping, it's people going out there shooting and leaving trash. Is that still just the BLM, or is Metro getting involved in that at all?
We can if we know there's a circumstance. I mean, it's within the county, so we could cite for littering if it came down to it and people clean up.
Yeah. How would, like, you go about? Because I see the people, I'm out riding my dirt bike, and I see the people doing it, and it's not people from here most of the time. I notice ever since they run people out of Corn Creek, they've all just kind of
right, everybody's
moved here.
This way.
Right.
They bring an old refrigerator, shoot it up, and leave it there.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of them's blown up. Like somebody blew it up.
A refrigerator?
Uh-huh.
Maybe like some Tannerite or something in it?
Yeah.
Seems fun.
Expensive.
You know, the best thing I can do is if you can get a plate and you're out there riding around without getting yourself in any danger.
And another question is the power lines for Valley Electric. The lights and the power lines themselves are getting shot.
Hmm.
Yeah. Does that bring extra? I've never seen anyone actually do that.
I have to have a victim to have a crime, so if Valley Power and Electric doesn't call us and tell us they've got issues with it, then.
It looks like they just go and fix it, but you can see the plastic on the ground.
Right.
It looks like they also made the boxes for the electrical stuff bulletproof. I don't know, they look like they're pretty heavy duty now, but on one of the power poles out there, someone actually painted a target on it and shot it. multiple times.
Easy target. Yeah, as far as that goes, I have to have a victim in order to do something unless I can prove they're in danger of somebody by shooting at it. But, you know, a couple license plates doesn't hurt. Jot them down, let me know. We can track down the registered owners and send them back out there to clean up some things.
I usually have a GoPro
the
on
poor, my there you go, yeah, the poor, BLM, I mean, they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. You know, they get in trouble for one thing and then they get their hand slapped and then they feel like they can't do anything. So as far as that land out there and as far as monitoring that stuff is really their responsibility, and I'm not trying to just push it off on them, but obviously my guys aren't just going to hang out in the shooting area to clean it up. But if you've got instances, we can certainly take some action. I'm sure it is, because Gordo is doing a really good job pushing everybody out of that fossil bed over there at Corn Creek. And he's got a backup now with them, and they go in there all the time and push folks out of there. And so it's a lot less used than it was. And so everybody's now pushing up into Cold Creek. And so we're getting calls from Cold Creek residents where people are up almost next to the neighborhood shooting. And then now you're getting pushed out here. That's just the natural displacement that's occurring because of that fossil bed area that was absolutely perfect because it didn't bother anybody. It was a perfect scenario and situation. It wasn't close to town or anything else. But that's beyond our call. So.
All right.
Anybody else?
Thanks, Matt.
NHP. Nope. Creech. Nope.
Nope.
Parks and Rec.
We did get some news today at a meeting earlier that the Creech and Nellis fire departments are not going to separate and be Creech and Nellis separate fire departments. So that was kind of interesting. And had you met that guy before, the fire guy, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I invited him out to meet him.
Yeah, we were going to have him come to one of our new meetings there. I don't know if he's the chief, fire chief.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be the chief over Creech. So maybe we can have him come to one of our new meetings.
I thought that was, wasn't that always separated, Mark?
No, no, they were part of the wing down there, and now they're their own separate.
Yeah.
Oh.
I guess that's happening April 2nd.
They were separate when I first got here, and then they joined back up.
Right. Right. That's right.
Last time Creech was here, asked if he could get a hold of someone from NTTR to talk to us. Is there any way we could find out if you got anywhere with that?
I have tried reaching out to him. Laura has tried reaching out to him. I've tried reaching out to my contact at Nellis, and we are getting stonewalled. So I don't know. Right. I was hoping to reach out to talk to the fire guy today that maybe he can get us a better contact. But the contacts I have are not working.
Well, you said the commander come out.
I know.
If he's busy, he ain't coming. Clark County Parks and Rec.
Hi, Jesse. So we will be having bingo Thursday, January 24th at 7 p.m. for adults 18 and over here at the community center. And then we're also having a Valentine's Day themed adult craft. It'll be February 8th at 6 p.m. It's $10 and you have to RSVP. So youth baseball is coming up. We're having signups January 31st. From 6 to 8 p.m. It's for ages 3 to 13. We also still need coaches for all age groups if anyone is interested. I will be holding a coaches meeting up at the baseball field next Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. So if anyone's interested, please come up there or let me know. We really need coaches for this season. That's it for Parks and Rec.
When you said the adult craft, is that buying crafts or making them?
Making them.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
There's flyers on the back table so you can see what it is.
Okay. Thank you.
Union Spring Schools. High Desert Seniors. Nope. Megan.
Okay. I have several things. Family Dollar and Terribles are both moving through the process. I guess somebody was saying that Terribles was not happening anymore. That is absolutely not true. They were just here at our last meeting to get waivers to be able to move forward. So the waivers we heard about last time about the wall that was being replaced with hedge of pyracantha instead, what got approved. And Commissioner Brown commented how exciting it is to have a community that's really supporting a project like that. So they're moving ahead. Those sites are just difficult with the drainage problems. So it's taken a while to get the permitting done. Streetlights, they came out and adjusted the streetlight over here, so it should be good now. No? They adjusted it as much as they can. There's a cobra head or something, the name of it, and they can only adjust so much. So what they did is the best they can do. So.
Okay. It shines in the desert and on somebody's house rather than the road.
Okay, well, they just did it a couple days ago.
So. I just walked by it tonight.
Okay, well, it's the best they can do. So that's that. Fire hydrants, we already talked about that. Park issues. I have a long update on the park issues. This is from Ron Carrington, who is the head of parks maintenance. The water line at the fire station had multiple issues and leaks. Every time we repaired one, not we, them, not me. Every time we repaired one and thought we were good, another one revealed itself. The asphalt drive aisles for the fire station were installed over an area that previously had grass many years ago. When the asphalt was installed, the sprinkler lines were not properly abandoned or isolated. The contractor only screwed the valve stem down and did not cap the individual sprinkler heads or head connections. Eventually, the valve and valve stem corroded and allowed water back into the old line, which caused leaks under the asphalt. We have correctly isolated that old line and should never have that issue again. However, we could not complete the final check to ensure that the issues were totally resolved because the backflow preventer had a cracked brass coupler during this process and the entire irrigation system had to be shut down. The backflow preventer is scheduled to be repaired tomorrow, and we'll complete our final check for leaks so we don't waste time and money on the upcoming slurry seal and restripe project. The two areas where the asphalt was cut and removed so they could access the earlier leaks and breaks in the line were backfilled with type 2 to create a more level surface so that vehicles could drive over them. We are going to have the same contractor that is performing the slurry seal and restripe project remove the type 2 from the excavation areas and patch them with asphalt. The slurry seal and restripe project will commence in March or April since the slurry material requires warmer ambient temperatures in order to set correctly. Sean and I inspected the watering issues, once you emailed me about the pictures, at and near the ball field and the sheet flowing across the recreation center parking lot when you first communicated the issues. After our visit, Sean provided direction to his staff on the needed repairs and adjustments to the system. He went back there as recently as the 2nd of this month to inspect several areas and found that some of the more minor repair work was still ongoing, but for the most part, the major problems have been addressed. That's the update I have on that. Does that jive with what you're saying?
I have a little look.
Oh, okay.
I talked to Sean down here, though.
Oh, okay. And that's all. That's all.
Okay. Planning and zoning, none. General business, 9, we already did.
Sure did.
10, review and approve 2019 Town Advisory Board meeting calendar.
So I'm handing out the meeting schedule for 2019. It's just basically the same Thursday once a month at 6:30. So this is your opportunity to change basically just the time. Or if there's any meetings, if you've all decided to go on vacation together in July, maybe we won't meet in July. But other than that, we cannot change the date. We're stuck with the date, but we could change the time.
Okay.
So I'll need a motion.
Everybody okay with the times? Or?
Yeah.
Yep.
Motion to approve.
Second.
In favor?
All right.
The next item is the bylaws. I don't need a motion or stand on those. I just have to have it on there to show that I have given them to you, which I emailed them and you have them. They're the same as they've been before. If you feel very strongly that something should be changed on them, let me know. But for the most part, they are standardized for all the town boards, and they're pretty straightforward. So read them over. If you have any questions, I'd be happy.
Very good. Yeah. Comments by general public. Period devoted to comments by general public about matters relevant to boards, councils, jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. Any member of the board, council wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or the council board by majority vote.
Okay.
Anybody got anything to say? Nope. Excellent.
I have a question. What's the purpose of giving our email?
I do not
know. On the signage? So that if, it's pretty standard through all meetings. Most town board meetings have lots of presentations. So if you were here about a specific item, they'd be able to contact you if there were changes to it or an update or something, just so that you could be contacted.
I used to come to all these meetings like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, and I signed the email thing, and it's like we're 7, 8 years on, and I've never gotten an email from anybody about anything, so I was wondering what's the purpose of putting it there.
Okay. If you want to be added, we can add you to the email list.
I'm also wondering if, when the meetings are canceled, would it be possible to send an email to the people that, you know, whose email you have, that the meetings are canceled?
Sure, I can ask Laura to do that.
Because one of the reasons I don't come to these meetings anymore is I've been stuck in Vegas, and I've driven up here 3 times just to attend the meetings, only to find out they were canceled.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, nope.
Well, we don't always know. We don't always know. Sometimes it's at the last minute.
I understand stuff happens, mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Certainly. But it's just a hike to come up for a meeting that doesn't happen, and I've missed coming to them. So if it's possible to send an email to the people that you have when the meetings are canceled, that would be a
help. I'll ask our secretary to do that.
That would be wonderful.
Kahi, you were talking about that too. You wanted to get on the list, mm-hmm. So make sure that she's got that information.
Yes. That would be very helpful.
That would be a good idea.
Yes.
Anybody else? Nope. Okay. Next meeting date, February 14th.
All right.
6:30 p.m.
All right. Thank you all.
Thanks for coming. See you next month.
Yeah. Big gentleman.